The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Third down and 8. Brock Osweiler winds up and throws open. This tight end, Ryan Griffin, down to the 20. What's that? Osweiler's throw, touchdown, wide open, C.J. Fedorowicz. Hand off Lamar Miller, and in for the touchdown, the Texans with another one. Hopkins turned around and caught it. The ball was thrown when his back was to Osweiler.
What's that?
On third down and 8. And that's intercepted. The receiver kept running. Jadson Batamosi in his first start in the NFL.
The last couple of years, you guys had started slow, yep. 3-5, and then had to really put it together at the end. To be able to go into the bye week, and it's been pretty up and down, but to be 5-0 at home, 5-3.
It's been pretty up and down, but there's 5 more ups than 3 downs. So I thought it was a good win for our team.
What does it mean to be 5-3 as opposed to 3-5 the last 2 years?
Well, it's better. It's better to be 5-3.
You don't seem to be really excited about winning.
I'm very excited about winning. I'm always excited about winning. Can you tell? I'm very excited. Definitely helps us.
Bill, you got on Izzo. About what was that all about?
I have no idea what you guys – I don't know. What are you guys talking about? No idea.
There was video of the game of you seeming to kind of go after a coach. You had to be restrained.
No, I don't think so. I don't remember that one bit.
It was an imposter?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was just – there's conversations that happen on the sideline, and that's just kind of the nature of the game.
Well, they are 5-3. Their coach is kind of a jerk. Let's talk about it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on. For a Monday, welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Jong Snow with a 0, not an O. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. We'll just do the whole damn thing again. What's up, Hoffman?
You know, sports, stuff like that. What's up with you?
Sports and traffic.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, you cut it close today.
I did cut it close today.
This is unlike you.
No, but what the hell is he wearing in there?
Oh. Yeah, this is our adult grown man producer of a major market radio show. I show up, and the first thing he turns around and he's wearing a damn, not just like a Chewbacca mask. It's the Chewbacca mask that makes noise, obviously.
Yeah.
Which I can't wait to hear all throughout the program. He's also wearing a full jumpsuit. Which I thought, I asked him if it was child size. I guess they do make it for small adults, but that's what Jong said to me.
So that's going to be his response the entire show.
Basically that.
We're gonna be like, hey.
I mean, just pretend like whatever we ask him when he does that noise, we're just going to assume that in place of that noise on a regular day, it would have just been like, it's a long story. So that, yeah, it's a long story.
Yeah, so if I go, how's your weekend? I'm going to get Chewbacca. Great.
Basically.
Well, then I don't care what your weekend was like, Chewie.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, and this is, and we got a lot, man, this is a busy show.
Oh, God,
busy
yeah.
show. It is, there's a lot of sports happening. There's a lot of not sports happening. There's a lot of Halloween happening. There's a lot of dildos happening. I mean, it's all happening. So we're going to talk about it all. I chose last night to – I didn't have both my TVs going last night. I only had one going because the wife wanted to watch some shows. normally if I want to watch something, I'll just set up both TVs and right next to each other. And,
right, same thing I do, yeah.
Yeah. In this instance, my wife was using up one of the TVs. So, we have several more TVs upstairs. I don't know why she couldn't use them, but what am I going to do, argue with her? I've been watching football all weekend. I didn't want to argue with her. I didn't feel like I could win the argument, rather, I would say.
Right, right. Sometimes you just have to fold.
Right. So I took one for the team. But it meant that I had to choose, Fred. I had to choose between watching Game 5 of the World Series or Sunday Night Football. And I chose the World Series, and for two reasons. Did you have that choice to make? Did you have Sophie's choice?
You
chose football.
I chose football, but I also flipped over, watched a little of the Rockets. I also flipped over and watched a little of the baseball, mm-hmm. mostly during commercials, and a little bit of a little hockey too.
That was the first Rockets game I've missed. I just had no time for it, honestly. Maybe I don't know. I'm so disinterested in that team.
You didn't miss much. They beat a team without Dirk.
Okay. So barely.
Yeah.
Didn't cover.
No, they did not.
No. Not that I bet on. Not that I bet on the NBA, but. So, I chose it for two reasons. One, I felt like I was more likely to, and this is the way it worked out, more likely to rewatch the game, the football game, not live, even if I knew the result. If I knew the result of the baseball game and tried to watch it back, zero chance I would have watched it back. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna make myself watch this baseball game. Like real baseball fans do. They sit there in front of the TV for hours on end and just stare at it and wait for something to happen. I mean, I can't imagine how soccer fan feels. It's got to be watching like two baseball games back to back to watch a soccer match where no goals get scored. Ugh.
At least they're moving the whole time, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Baseball's an awful lot of just you're sitting and waiting for a pitch. Or
staring at each other. Yeah. The other reason was, football has been so bad lately in primetime or in nationally televised games that I just didn't feel like I was going to be missing out on much. And, you know, I watched the game back. It's an overtime game. It was relatively exciting. I mean.
Yeah, although I'm always amazed by coaching decisions. Like, but what the hell were they thinking when there's third down? Eagles are up 7, and if you run the ball up the middle, you got a pretty good field goal kicker, you can go up 10, game's probably over.
Yeah.
But no, you run a backwards pass to the side and lose yardage. What the hell is that?
But think about this. These were the last four nationally televised games before Sunday Night Football. There was a tie. There was Brock Osweiler versus the Broncos. There was Jags-Titans. And there was another tie. None of those are things I wanted to see again. So I said, I would rather watch baseball than Sunday Night Football. But again, I've already watched the football game. So I didn't like throw it away like, oh, I don't care.
The majority of people did the same thing. Baseball actually beat football for the first time in recent memory.
That was the whole point of
this. And that's also surprising.
Diatribe.
Yeah, it's surprising to me because Cowboys-Eagles is generally a pretty good draw.
If you said, we're going to give you any two teams you want on Sunday Night Football. So what do you want, NBC? Who's your choice? Don't you think Cowboys-Eagles would be pretty high on their list of choices?
Absolutely. Especially with the Eagles being off to a good start, Cowboys being off to a good start.
Who else would they pick? I mean, that's the most watched nationally television, or nationally, it's the biggest national audience of a football team. And it's arguably their number one rival, right?
Yeah.
That's the game. That's their dream matchup. I mean, God forbid they would have said, all right, this weekend you got Jags-Titans. Then you would expect baseball to crush it. Cubs-Indians drew a 15.3 overnight. Cowboys-Eagles, an overtime game, 11.6. Not even close. It's the first time since 2013 that the World Series has beat Sunday Night Football head-to-head. And that is shocking. Game 5 was up 31% from last year's Royals-Mets Game 5. And up,
that makes sense considering the teams. And you had a chance at a clinch last night, too.
And up 87% from Royals Giants in 2014. An 87% increase. And I think mostly this we would consider the Cubs effect. I think that's what it boils down to, because I would say Cubs are in the group with Yankees and Red Sox as really the only baseball teams that have a following outside of their region.
The Cubs may even be bigger than – I'd say the Cubs and the Braves kind of get in there too, because all those years of cable where those people all over the country started watching them.
But really the Braves don't do it anymore. Nobody watches the Braves now.
No, but the Cubs, that's where their following came from.
Yeah, but the Cubs have a national following. I think the Yankees and Red Sox are the only other teams you could say have a real national following, like a broad-reaching – I mean, are there Mariners fans here? Are there A's fans here? Sure. But like a broad-reaching national fan base.
I might throw the Cardinals into that mix. That's the other team, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah, but
I mean, I think that's a team that's more historically very good than historically.
But that's how you get fan bases outside your city.
Because I feel like, I mean, I would, when I was thinking about if I was going to include anyone else, I feel like I would have put the Dodgers before I put.
Yeah, Dodgers are probably fair.
The Cardinals. But either way, those three have significant followings.
Yeah.
And you can't get the Yankees and Red Sox in the World Series every year, unfortunately for baseball. They'd love to have it. It doesn't work that way. So this is best case scenario for them. And I think maybe they get, because they get the Indians who are from, you know, from a town that's been so desperate for championships, and now things are kind of starting to turn around for them maybe. I don't know how people are looking at Cleveland anymore. I think most of this is due to the Cubs. But I really think a lot of it is due to people falling out of love with the NFL this year. The product is not the same. I mean, it should be any two teams in baseball should not outdraw a Cowboys-Eagles game on Sunday night. That sounds like lunacy. But I'm telling you, people are getting tired of this bad football and bad officiating, bad football, bad coaching you talked about. It's everywhere. It's rampant.
Yeah, I think the ironic thing, though, is that yesterday's may have been the most entertaining games we've seen as a whole in a
while. I know, but
because you had that Falcons-Packers game was a hell of a game. And even though they got 23 penalties, the Raiders, at least the overtime of the Raiders-Bucks was entertaining.
The Raiders set an NFL record for penalties in a game. Penalties and penalty yards. And still won.
And see, I think those were two really good football teams last night. It was actually a pretty well-played game.
It was.
And this is the first weekend where I can say that, where I wasn't just bored to tears with the quality of the games.
That what we've seen over the first 6-7 weeks of the season has now sort of rolled over, and it's having a snowball effect to where people aren't just glued to the TV because there's an NFL game on. People will do other things. People will watch other things, which in the past, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons for it, but it is getting worse. And for that to happen, it's getting worse. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll get the Texans. There's a bunch of stuff to get to today, including Bill O'Brien and his how I am done with this dude's attitude. Completely done.
I wish he would have gotten a fight with Larry Izzo.
That would have been cool.
Which way do you think that would have gone?
I think Izzo kicks his ass.
Almost undoubtedly, yeah. Larry Izzo kicks Bill O'Brien's ass. I'd bet a paycheck on it.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Man Centers. And listen, whatever your male-related issues are, Man Centers has got you covered. Problem a lot of guys have is they're embarrassed to go in. There's nothing to be embarrassed about, guys. It happens to a lot of guys. You know, women have OBGYNs to take care of their lady part problems. We've got to take care of our dude parts, too. And that includes getting your prostate checked, you know, making sure you don't have low T, making sure everything's running right down there. And listen, in cooperation with No Shave November, Man Centers is teaming up with us here at the radio station to create prostate cancer awareness. The goal of No Shave November is to grow awareness by embracing our hair, which many cancer patients lose, and letting it grow wild and free. Donate the money you typically spend on shaving and grooming to educate about cancer prevention, save lives, and those fighting the battle. And we're going to be involved in that, right, John? I need to do a shave tonight, right?
Yes, shave, and we'll take pictures tomorrow.
Clean shaven. So this is working in with another one of my sponsors, Harry's Razors. But Man Centers is doing a great thing with this, and hopefully you guys can help out as well. Go by Man Centers, 9190 Katy Freeway, Suite 101 here in Houston, or give them a call, 832-358-8600, or go to mancenters.com. Women have OBGYNs. Men trust Man Centers.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. The other thing I was flipping around to last night was a World Series of Poker. Then went back to actually showing you the hands now.
Oh, yeah?
Which makes a difference.
But, yeah.
Yeah,
is it on the final table yet?
Yeah, it's the final table. They're down to five tonight, and then I think they play down to two tomorrow night.
Are you going to watch that?
I'll be watching some of it, yeah. I have a couple things on the VCR I need to get caught
They're turning into a three-night event now?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
A little bit. See, by the time they get down to two, I don't really care anymore.
Haven't we gotten to the point where the poker craze is not what it once was?
Oh, yeah, this is ESPN 2 now. It's not even right. ESPN.
So why would you draw the coverage out even further now that less people care?
It's just programming, basically.
You once had a really hot product, and do they still have the big sponsors? Like, is Jack's Link still a big sponsor?
Yeah, they still have they have most of the sponsors, but it's not like it.
It's not like it used to be.
Yeah.
I would think that they'd say, you know what, let's just tighten this up. Let's get this thing played out, get it over with, and that'll be that. But I'm not programming a major television network, unfortunately.
And they're doing great with their maybe not.
They got everything going around there.
So, a couple things on the Texans.
We're going to talk about them?
Yeah, we are. Because
crazy.
I really don't know what they are. I know that they are not competitive on the road against better teams. I know that. They're bad in those games. But you look at their wins, and really other than the Bears – I mean, they're all decent enough wins. I mean, the Lions are 500. The Chiefs, I still don't know how they beat them. The Titans are 500, at least for now.
Yeah.
The Colts are 3-5, but I think we give them credit for that being
it's a solid win. It's a decent win.
So they haven't. It's not like they're racking up their record by beating up on the Jaguars and Browns.
But I would say they're not beating good teams. They're beating average teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
with the exception of the Chiefs, who I think are a good team.
I wouldn't argue against that. So they're beating teams that I think are equal to or lesser than them. Which I guess is that what you're supposed to do?
You are supposed to beat the teams you're better than. And every now and then, if you're a good team, you jump up and beat somebody who's better than you.
That's what I feel. And they've yet to do that.
Yeah. But but even when I was writing about this yesterday, it's like I was trying to find one thing that they did really well that you could say this is why they won the game. And other than run the ball effectively in the fourth quarter for two drives,
they did nothing.
They lost the turnover battle.
Yep.
They were outgained. They barely got any pressure on Matt Stafford. They had one sack.
Yeah.
And yet, at the end, they win it by a touchdown. They cover. And this has kind of been their MO all year. Now, numbers-wise, I didn't expect them to put up really big numbers, especially the way that second half was, because first the Lions ate up half a quarter, and then there weren't many possessions in the second half. But, I to just step back and look at them and say, you know what, 5-3? It's not bad. These aren't bad teams they've beaten. But, boy, it's sure hard to look at them and say, this is why I believe in them.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Brock Osweiler played all that well yesterday. The interception was just.
Well, he still didn't get 200 yards passing in.
No.
I guess the Lions, everyone should.
But
But I, you know what? I was thinking about this, Fred, and I decided I didn't want to come in here today and try and convince people that they're still watching a bad football team. And I was there for that game, and I left without I didn't have a great taste in my mouth for the team when I left. It honestly, the Lions really kind of helped them out at the end. I don't know what they were thinking going for an onside kick.
Yeah, that was crazy.
When they had timeouts and the two-minute warning still, it just seemed like a very odd coaching decision, but they did. And unbelievably, they almost got it.
Yeah. But I don't think the Texans were ready for it.
No, and I guess maybe that's what they were going for. I still think that's a bonehead move.
Yeah, you know, kick it deep.
You kick it deep and make – you know the Texans are just going to run the ball. They are not going to put that in Brock Osweiler's hands at that point. No way. So you can just kind of lock down on that run. But beside the point, they end up winning the game. But I walked away going, well, I mean, they won. Did they look good? No. But at the end of the day, they've won five times now out of eight. And most teams would take that. And I kept hearing that yesterday. If you told me at the beginning of the season that we'd be 5-3 through eight games, I'd take that every time. I don't look at it that way. I use a lot more of the eye test and what I'm seeing and if I'm seeing the team improve or not. I'm not seeing that. But I said, rather than come in today like I've come in for the last 7 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, because I was pretty impressed with them after the Bears game. I thought they looked good in that, and I was like, "Oh, wow, that's a good start to the season." Since then, I've been meh.
But they're like a lot of teams, and that goes. You talk about having watched so much bad football, man. That's league wide almost. There's so few good teams, and we've talked about that a lot.
If you're not the Patriots, who's great?
Yeah, and
that's a real question. Is there anyone that you'd say that this is definitely a good team? This is a, for instance. And it was a bad spot for them. I'm not to make excuses. I still think they're a good team. The Seahawks looked like crap yesterday.
They did.
I mean, they look like crap. Offensively, they just suck. And that's not just this last week because they were wore out. That's
been all year.
All season long, they've sucked on offense.
But they managed to win games.
Right. But are they a great team? I don't know. Minnesota, are they a great team? Do you really trust them offensively? I don't. They've won the games.
They sound just like the Seahawks to me. They play really good defense. Don't trust their offense.
The Dallas Cowboys now, 6-1. Are they a great team? Because Dak Prescott, for a lot of yesterday's game, looked like a rookie quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that was the Eagles did a good job with him, too, and made him look like a rookie quarterback.
I think there's a lot of good teams. I think right now, at least while Ben Roethlisberger's broken, there's one great team.
Yeah,
there's one team that looks like they're playing that looks like they're playing on a different level than everyone else. So it made me think maybe I'm being unfair to the Texans. I think a lot of the heat is going to come to the Texans because they're getting such poor quarterback play consistently, and that was such a glaring flaw in this team in the offseason, and everybody thought that it was solved, and it's clearly not solved. So I think maybe that's why I've given them more grief this season. But maybe I'm being unfair because maybe there's just – I mean, this is what most of the league is. Most of the league right now is the Texans. And I would guess that sports radio in most of these cities is doing the same thing we are, going, man, the expectations were that they would play better, but they're just not doing it. And there's probably – I mean, there's – probably a few exceptions where a team, like in Tennessee, for example, they're probably saying, you know what? Things are looking pretty good around here.
4-4.
But I really think outside of Boston, Massachusetts, and probably Dallas right now, but mostly because they're exceeding expectations by so much.
Yeah.
You know, given where they drafted last year, and who knows what's going to happen to them because they may be losing their running back soon for a while. But I feel like there's probably not a lot of markets out there where the radio guys are huffing their chests out saying, you know what, we might be talking Super Bowl at the end of this season. So maybe I've been unfair to the Texans, and I kind of wanted to know what the people think. I know this is I feel like it's lazy radio when the host says, We want to know what you think about this, guys. It's like AM Hack Radio guy. We want to know what your take is. But I kind of want to know. I kind of want to get a gauge for what people feel about the Texans team right now at the halfway mark. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And the Patriots are so good, they could trade maybe their best defensive player in the middle of the year for a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Although...
And the Browns...
And they don't mess around because, obviously, they started talking contract with the guy, and reportedly he wants Von Miller money.
Well, a good reason to trade him.
It's like, okay.
Because guess what? You know who might give him that money? The Browns.
Yeah. And you're not Von Miller, so see ya.
Yeah. But, I mean, do you think the Patriots are any worse today? Are you worried about them?
No.
I'm not. And that's the sign. That's when you know you've got a great team. That's when you know. When you could trade one of your best defensive players and no big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. They'll be all right.
We're still just going to roll right over everybody.
I assume it, like, to me, that's like if the Texans tomorrow traded Whitney Merciless for a third round pick.
Yeah.
People around here will be going, what? There, it's just like, he wanted money. We weren't going to pay it. He's gone. The Patriots would probably trade DeAndre Hopkins at this point.
Yeah.
DeAndre wants that money. He's getting vocal about it in the offseason. They'd be like, nah, we don't need this. You're out of here. But, all right, I got to tell you about mycomputercareer.edu. Listen, if you're struggling, you know, maybe you're in the oil and gas business and that industry's taking a hit. But if you want a great career with good income potential and job security, listen up. IT is a constant high-growth sector, particularly here in Houston. There's a ton of computer jobs here in Houston. And if you like working or playing with computers, a career in IT could be right for you. There's only one place to go, guys, mycomputercareer.edu. There's companies hiring IT guys all over the city. But to get those jobs, you've got to have the skills and certification. And that's where mycomputercareer.com comes in. It's more than just a school. They've got a complete career change program that helps you get into the industry by partnering with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Most students start their first job in just a few months. You're attending class only twice a week on campus or live online, so your learning is going to fit into your lifestyle. At My Computer Career, you're in and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill. What are you waiting for? Go to mycomputercareer.edu now. Take the free career evaluation today and find out if an IT career is right for you. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. Tell them AJ from ESPN 97.5 sent you.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And a lot of... The Patriots aren't that good.
No, they are.
Like the Patriots that much. Look at who they beat.
Yeah, they beat the Texans.
And more importantly... that's real easy to say. You can sit there and pull somebody's schedule out and say, oh, this is the crap they beat. Because that just backs up the point we were just making about the entire league. But look at how they're beating them. They're stepping on throats, yeah. Man. And that's...
And not to mention...
That's the difference.
They did half the season without their best player.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. I got to tell you, man, I'm out on Bill O'Brien. This guy is just a jerk. There's no way around it. He's a child.
You want to hear it again?
Yeah, let's hear it again.
It started slow, yep. 3-5, and then had to really put it together at the end. To be able to go into the bye week, and it's been pretty up and down, but to be 5-0 at home, 5-3.
It's been pretty up and down, but there's five more ups than three downs. So I thought it was a good win for our team.
What does it mean to be 5-3 as opposed to 3-5 the last 2 years?
Well, it's better. It's better to be 5-3.
You don't seem to be really excited about winning.
I'm very excited about winning. I'm always excited about winning. Can't you tell? I'm very excited.
Bill, you got on Izzo. About what was that all about?
I have no idea what you guys – I don't know. What are you guys talking about? No idea.
There was video of the game of you seeming to kind of go after a coach. You had to be restrained.
No, I don't think so. I don't remember that one bit.
It was an imposter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was just – there's conversations that happen on the sideline, and That's just kind of the nature of the game.
That is such a BS answer. It's not even close. It's if a player did that, if a player went nuts, he'd be getting ripped by everybody today. But because he's the head coach, like, oh, it's okay. Well, I think it's worse when the head coach does that. And when you're having to be restrained on the sidelines and it's on TV and people see it, how arrogant do you have to be to just say, oh, no, we're just a conversation on the sideline. Yeah. Get the hell out of here with that, man. The guy's just a jerk. And that's what you want. You want your head coach behaving like a child on the sidelines.
Yeah. He's very petulant is the word to me.
Yeah, petulant's a good word.
I mean, that's what I get from him, but I don't know. Maybe that's what gets him going. Maybe that's what...
832 says, I'm pretty good at math. There are two more ups than three downs.
Yeah, that was not great math.
Yeah. But that's all right. That's
all right. We got what he was saying, but...
Yeah. But I get that part of the job is the way you project yourself, and he continues to just come off as somebody that, you know, and why would you want to play for a guy like that? If I'm a free agent, I see this guy acting like an ass on the sidelines.
I think maybe players dig it. Maybe players dig a guy who comes in and deflects all blame from them publicly. And I'm sure he gets on their asses in the locker room. But, why, Bill, I thought your quarterback didn't look great again today. Oh, yeah? We won the game, right? Did we get who had more points at the end of the game? Our quarterback or their quarterback? Our quarterback. That's right. Yeah. So we're pretty damn happy with the way our quarterback played.
Five wins, better than three wins.
Right. Maybe the players like it when their coach takes that heat for them, at least in the public view. But
maybe.
I think I would guess fans get tired of it. Well, fans don't want to hear that.
I think it's just the arrogance of the entire organization that starts with him. That what have you really won? And you're being pissy because you're 5-3. You've been a 9-7 coach for 2 years. You're probably going to be a 9-7 coach again this year. But, it's another one, man. It makes it hard to root for those guys.
Yeah.
When you got a coach that, frankly, I just don't like. And I don't understand why he's not taking more crap for that. I really don't.
Well, because, I mean, they're right now they're 5-3.
Well, what if that...
If they were 3-5, would this act be flying? Probably not.
What if DeAndre Hopkins had to be restrained from going after somebody on the sideline? Do you think people would be giving him crap over that?
Well,
of course, he'd have to care enough to do it, which I don't know that he does.
Well, remember when Andre Johnson went after Matt Schaub?
Yeah.
And how big everybody made that?
Well, it's different when a black guy is going after a white guy. That's scary to white people. We're afraid of that.
So white-on-white crime is okay?
White-on-white is okay with white people. When black guys start coming after white guys, we get real scared. You know, we're a sensitive bunch. So that was different, Jong. It's nothing like this.
And Dustin Nguyen?
Those guys were just having a disagreement. It wasn't even a fight. Andre Johnson on Matt Schaub, that was assault, brother.
Speaking of Andre.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that yet.
We definitely
will. There's so much going on. And we get the obligatory, is he a Hall of Famer? Which I feel like you and I have both made our stance on that.
Yeah, I wrote that today, this afternoon, which basically restates the stance that I've had all along, that hell of a career.
He's a really good player.
But when you start comparing him to the other receivers that he's going to have to compete with to get in.
Yes, he's just not there.
I don't see it. I think he needed to have a big year last year with the Colts and make the playoffs and add another 1,000 yards to his total. I think that might have gotten him closer, but also knowing how these old guys are. But we'll get to that. Let's grab a couple phone calls. AKA, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Hi, sports.
Sports.
Hey, I'm in agreement with you guys. I'm loving my Texans, but I don't like what they're doing. But I don't like what the whole NFL is doing. The Packers look like garbage. Pittsburgh, Arizona, all the teams we thought were going to be good, it's just a bunch of ifs. And Texas is thrown right in there because it's if Brock was good. The only people that have shown me anything right now have been the Cowboys and the Patriots. And like you say, Dak looked like a rookie last night for a good portion of the while. Minnesota has no offense. So it's been one of the worst NFL seasons as far as the play that I've seen.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm kind of wondering, if maybe this is just the Texans are par for the course, you know?
Yeah,
and I'm not trying to make excuses for them, because I still think – I feel like we expect better. We should expect better than what we've gotten, you know? I'm not talking from a wins-loss standpoint, because 5-3 is actually pretty decent. But this is the product that they're putting out there is not great.
No, but in the end, if you just win the games, that's what matters. But I wanted to see. I want to see more. I just like to see something out of that offense. And to be fair, I can't bitch at them too much for shutting things down the second half when you're down to two healthy receivers. Which is another issue, because that takes away a lot of what you can do. But that, on the whole, their offense has not been good. That's on Bill O'Brien. That's on, that's the side of the ball he's supposed to be good at. It's not happening. And then to be arrogant about it and make stuff up, silly. Let's try Blake. What's up, Blake?
Gentlemen.
Sports.
I have a non-sportsy question for you.
All right.
Fred. What kind of candy, if any, do you and the missus pass out? And AJ, does the poor wife have to handle all the trick-or-treating duty because you're not home in time, or do you jump in when you get home?
No, we do the obligatory leave a bucket of candy on the front porch, and then because my kids, they all go over to my dad's house, and because my dad and my aunt live right next door to each other, and so their cousins come over, and they all take a bunch of pictures, and they just trick-or-treat there. So we leave that bucket of candy on the front porch that I'm sure gets gobbled up by the first kid that gets there.
Yeah, we used to do Snickers and Skittles.
Yeah.
I would always put out stuff that I would eat.
Yeah.
Snickers and Skittles. But at the place we're at now, there's no kids there.
Yeah, nobody trick-or-treats your house.
No, nobody does at our place. Yeah. So I think there's maybe one kid in the entire building. So, but eventually, by next year, I should be in a place where I'll have to put stuff out again. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Yeah, man, there's a lot to get to today. And 5 o'clock, we'll go through all the games. Hey, how'd your betting go this weekend?
College football finished a little up. Pro football finished a little down. And there are two games killed me. The Packers going for two killed me. And the Browns, and this one's my fault because I didn't get the number at its peak.
Yeah.
I took Browns at 3 and not 3.5. Mm. So that I got a push out of that, what should have been a win. And then I got a loss out of what should have been a push on the Falcons game. So down slightly in the NFL, but up slightly in college. So it was, I finished up a little bit for the weekend, but not enough to huff my chest out about. But after two bad weeks in a row, let me tell you, it felt pretty nice.
Oh, I was puffing my chest out going 8-1 this weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
good for you.
Including two big bets on SMU, including money line at plus 120.
Did you win our pool?
I did not. I missed the Thursday game. For some reason, I meant to take the Titans and I took the Jags.
Oh.
So I just screwed up. I hit everything else. I would have won the pool.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter. Listen, law enforcement, they're stepping up efforts with these no refusal weekends. And I don't know what's going on this weekend. I'm sure it was one. But they can force you to take a blood test. If your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, don't fret. There's still hope. Even if you failed the breath or blood test the police gave you, a lot of things you should know about those tests. Police breath test machines, they're not even warranted fit for testing on humans. Machine makes temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and then destroys the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Failing that test, it's not the end of the world. Juries are smart. They're going to notice the problems with the machine. Same with the blood test. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you to fail that test. They're going to realize it. They're not testing your actual blood like a medical doctor would do. They're testing the air above it. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist right here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about these tests. He's also one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
And we are back on the Blitz. Join us for lunch at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Well, not us, but join the station for lunch at Saltgrass Steakhouse, located in Meyerland Plaza tomorrow, with Joel Blank and Barry Laminack at 1 p.m. when Texan safety Quentin Demps joins the guys. So, once again, keeping his streak going of coming on our show, they win again.
Yep.
And it means, well, they can't lose this week because they're off.
Right. This is a this is a guaranteed win.
Or a tie.
Okay.
Could be a tie.
Bill O'Brien would say, a bye week's better than a loss, isn't it? Isn't it, John? That's what I thought.
The guy's just got anger issues, man. He's got some real issues. 713-780-ESPN. Let's blast through a few more phone calls, and then the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to be pretty full. So let's go with Mike.
Sports.
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 Sports again.
Hey, what I saw was I see the Texans as a good average team, as a third party, because I'm a Cowboys fan, but I enjoy watching them play. I see them. Their secondary is fantastic against the pass because I think they're playing way above their means with all their injuries. I think their biggest is stopping the run game. I think they put enough pressure on the quarterback, just kind of making them uncomfortable in the pocket to stop that. But as far as the run game goes, I think that's their big flaw, and that's what a good run team is going to hurt them.
Well, good run teams have hurt them. We've talked about that ad infinitum on this show.
Well, luckily the Lions aren't a team that can do that.
Exactly. Even though I do think Theo Riddick managed to get a few yards that probably shouldn't have, especially when they got him outside. But yeah, that's been an issue most of the season, and you hope that that gets worked out with the bye week. And they had some issues like this last year, and they made some adjustments as the season went on and got better. So there is that hope.
And Dustin points out something that's legit. And Bill's presser today, he was different. He was in a different mood, and he made fun of himself for yesterday. But there's something about when the game's going on, he's a different guy, but that's still no excuse.
No, that's...
I mean, that's like... I hate to put it lightly, but that's like saying, my boyfriend only yells at me and throws lamps across the room some of the time, like when he's really stressed out at work. And, it's other than that, he's cool.
The next day, he always apologizes and jokes about it.
Yeah, that guy's just a dick. It's just what he is. So I'm not going to make excuses for Bill O'Brien. I understand he's got a stressful job. He's paid handsomely for it. It doesn't give him an excuse to try to punk out members of the press, which that's what he's trying to do.
He's just bullying.
Yeah, he's trying to make himself feel like a big, tough guy, which is exactly what he was trying to do when he tried to act like he wanted to fight Larry Izzo. Because, again, had that fight happened, Larry Izzo whoops Bill O'B's ass. I'm not saying he might. I'm saying if that fight happened, Larry Izzo would whoop his ass, undoubtedly. A dude from Rice would have whooped his ass. He would have go tell his friends about that.
It's I can't read the names up there. Is that what's the one on four? Can you read that one?
Kane.
Okay. What's up, Kane?
Sports guys.
Hey, sports.
All right, Fred and AJ. I'm getting new to this gambling thing, man. I'm gonna keep it short and sweet. I pressed a ticket on that Seahawks Cardinals game a couple of weeks ago. Ended in a tie in overtime.
Right.
And if I call, I think I pushed and I may have won. But same result for the Redskins Bengals game. I picked the Bengals, but on my bookie it said I lost. So just kind of wanted to see if y'all could offer some logic around that, man.
Did you have the
all my advice from y'all?
Well, who did you have in the tie game, in the first tie, the Seahawks Cardinals game? Who did you play?
I had the Seahawks. They were favored to win.
Okay. They were you got paid for that?
I either got paid or I got my money back, but I didn't lose. Like yesterday it said lose on the Redskins Bengals game.
I don't think the Seahawks weren't favored in that game. The Cardinals were favored in that game. So that would be why you won. The Bengals were favored. They were 3-point favorites, so they didn't cover.
The Seahawks backers got paid in that tie because they were minus 1.5 points or something like that. So when it's a tie, you won your bet with the Seahawks. If you were a Bengals backer, you didn't win this one. The Redskins backers won this one because a tie was within the plus three that they had.
Okay, all right. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
No problem.
You know, it was almost funny was that Bucks Raiders game very nearly also ended in a tie.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a pick 'em.
Yep.
You want to talk about the ultimate kissing your sister. At least it was pick 'em on game day. I know it kind of went back and forth.
Because
the Bucks were favored at one point and the Raiders were favored at one point. Now, that's the one I'm kicking myself on for not taking. But in the end.
Dude, would you have wanted to sit there and watch that and stressed out about it?
No.
And honestly, the Raiders, you have over 200 yards in penalties and win. You're lucky. At some point, you got really lucky. I will say what's weird about that is something's happened to Jameis Winston where, remember he used to be like this fiery guy and he was always like motivating his teammates, you know, you strong, I'm strong, you strong, we strong then. He's not that guy now. Like he's shoulders shrugged. It almost looked like yesterday he was hoping that they would tie. Like he's not the same fiery character he once was. I don't know what's going on with that dude, but
well, you see that with a lot of times young quarterbacks get that beaten out of them. Well, and losing will do that.
I also think that's what it boils down to. A lot of these guys who play who are very successful in college football, and I think it's happened to Cam Newton. I think it's happening to Jameis Winston. When you are not used to losing, and you get thrown to a team where you've got to take some lumps, it takes a while to adjust to it. I think Jameis Winston can adjust, but then I see Cam Newton, who still hasn't adjusted. He lost two games last year, and he cried like a baby after both of them. So there's got to be somewhere in between being fiery and being like a total downer when things aren't going your way. I'm not into that. His body language was horrible yesterday.
And he hasn't been good. I mean, he really hasn't. He's had a couple of games where he looks like the player that you thought he might be.
Well, I mean, they're on their third and fourth string running backs. Yeah. Offensive line's banged up. And he's got one real receiver in Mike Evans. I mean, it's
one more than a lot of teams have.
That's
though.
True. I'll give you that. All right, guys, I got to tell you about Dick's Sporting Goods. Dick's Sporting. I went to Dick's today, get some baseball pants for my kid, and it's really just an unbelievable upgrade to the sporting goods stores that we've had around this city. They've got 10 new stores, 6 different locations all around the city of Houston, and they opened up two weekends ago. They're Willowbrook, Deerbrook, the Woodlands Mall, First Colony Mall, and then Katy and Baybrook have these massive buildings that have a Dick's, a Field & Stream, and a Golf Galaxy all in one spot. Whatever game you play, whatever sports you play, whatever level you're playing at, they've got you covered there at Dick's Sporting Goods. Whether you're a hiker, a snow skier, you're a bicycler, backpacking, you're fishing, you're into kayaking, they've got it all. Team sports, they've got all that. They've got footwear for every game. They've got every athlete's need under one roof taken care of. To find more about the new Dick's Sporting Goods stores and the locations, things like that, check out Dick's.com/Houston and get out to one of these new stores. Check them out. You're going to be blown away at what they're doing at these stores. That's Dick's Sporting Goods, now open all over Houston.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.